afternoon, and welcome, listeners, to this special broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. We're here at the Dayton Air Expo Center at the Dayton Women's Fair. If you have some time today, you're going to probably want to head out this way. There are a lot of activities going on geared towards women. Other support-type organizations are here to advertise their wares and things that they can offer women. It's a great opportunity. It's a beautiful day outside, at least this afternoon. Turned out to be a pretty nice afternoon. And if you have some time on your hands, you're looking for something to do, come out to the Airport Expo Center off North Lawn Boulevard in North Dayton and come to the Women's Fair. I want to start off today's broadcast by reminding our listeners that this last week there were quite a bit of newsworthy issues in the news.
I just see
every time that we open up a newspaper or fire up the internet, we can find things. But I want to start off by just mentioning that the issues surrounding the Naval Shipyard tragic shooting, which although while still being investigated, there were some things about that I think just cry for a thorough analysis of the anti-gun approach to things. And we don't know all the facts yet, but what we do know is this. The anti-gun people, the anti-gun community, want to argue all the time. One of their biggest arguments is they want to promote what they call universal, quote-unquote, background checks. And let me just tell you something that we know about this so far in the preliminary information. This individual that was involved in this heinous crime, not only did he pass a background check to acquire a firearm lawfully a few days before he committed this terrible incident, he purchased a shotgun at a gun store in Virginia where he passed the background check. But even well before that, he passed what should have been a very detailed government background check to get a high security clearance as a military contractor. And he had top secret clearance going on the base. Or security clearance.
Let's just clarify that just a little bit. A secret clearance is anything but, it's kind of like the entry-level security clearance in the military, and there are several million people that have those.
Okay. So but nonetheless, he was presumably subjected to a background check, which right now they're talking about some issues that may have been involved there, but we'll wait until...
Let's put it this way. It's a much deeper background check than you get when you get your background check run for purchasing a
absolutely.
Firearm.
Absolutely. So he also had... access to the base because he had credentials which authorized him to go where he wanted to go. So you have an individual who had a background check through the government. He also passed the background check to acquire the firearm, and then he confronted the security police, overpowered them, unfortunately, and then took their firearms and continued on his killing spree until the valiant efforts of responding law enforcement about 10 minutes into the situation, they were able to get control and ultimately neutralize the threat, and they killed him, and the situation was over. So, you know, there's lots of issues there, and I also want to direct your attention to our listeners' attention to yesterday's Dayton Daily News on the ideas and comments section of the paper, where there's several articles, three in particular, that address this issue of the gun debate. Kathleen Parker, who is a writer for the Washington Post, talked about how she's been engaged in this dialogue for what she says is 30 years. And she talks about how she got involved in the gun debate back in the early 80s, and she interviewed three people in one of her reports. And one was a woman who used a firearm to stop a rapist from committing a terrible crime against her. Another was a convicted murderer who used a firearm in obviously to commit a violent act, and then the owner of a shooting store or shooting range. And what was noteworthy about some of the things she said, first of all, was that when she talked to the woman who used the firearm and asked, you know, what'd you think about it? You know, if you had it to do over again, would you do things the same way? And the woman's response was, quote, and this is in the paper, "Hell yes, I'd do it again in a New York minute," referring to use the firearm to thwart the criminal act. When she interviewed the murderer on death row, what's interesting, when she said, you know, "What do you think about gun control?" And he goes, "Well, heck yeah, I support gun control. I'm all for it because that means that you, the good person, won't have a gun."
Makes it much safer workplace for him.
That's exactly right. We've been arguing that all along, and it's just absolutely plays out. And she later on talks about things like, you know, what we really need to be focusing on, what we've been arguing all along, is we have to change the debate about gun control and switch it over to stopping mentally ill people from wreaking havoc on society. That's the issue. But we fail to recognize or deal with that issue because it's a tougher one for us to deal with. And she talks about things like underlying cultural issues that are involved in some of the extreme violence. And she says that until we look at the environment that spawns individuals to commit these kind of acts, we're kind of spinning our wheels if we go any other way. In the same paper on the previous page, another reporter, Leonard Pitts, who is a reporter for the Miami Herald, he talks about how situations have unfolded for the last 20-30 years throughout the world, around the world. But in particular, he makes reference to several of the mass killing incidents here in the United States. And statistics tell us that over the last 30 years, there have been about 500 people killed in mass killings around the country. And what Mr. Pitts fails to recognize and comment on in his story is that just last year alone, in Chicago, 504 people were killed by firearms. Just in the city of Chicago. Now, we know from previous shows and just from the news, Chicago claims to have very stringent gun laws. And every year they're trying to make that stricter, although until the last year when several courts have ruled against them. And now they're having to get more in line with the constitutional provisions that have been upheld in other states and around the country. But Mr. Pitts has to realize that he is way, 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 way more likely to be victim of gun violence by a member of his own race than he is to even remotely likely to be involved in violence involving a mass incident around the country. Mr. Pitts happens to be an African-American male, and in the city of Chicago, a disproportionate number of violent crimes are committed by African-American males on, guess what, other African-American males. So he doesn't even mention the factual data that is available, and instead he says, we need to continue our discussion about gun control. And he mentions about 300 million guns owned by 316 million people in this country. He says that are we crazy, America? What he needs to understand is law-abiding citizens who have guns, who constitute 99.9% of those gun owners, don't do bad things. So he has nothing to worry about for people like me and Mark and the members of my range and other individuals who legally possess firearms, and he just fails to recognize that issue. So, it's important for you when you look at data and you listen to people's commentaries, you kind of read through their agenda and look at the truth. And the problem is the anti-gun movement has a hard time dealing with the facts because they can't refute them. So they try to redirect your attention and try to rely on, the tragedy surrounding the incident. And these are tragic incidents. And I just want to comment on the Naval Shipyard. One thing I found to be terribly ironic, and I discussed this with Mark, who's a 20-plus year veteran of the military, I found it very unfortunate that you had soldiers trained running away from the situation because they were not legally permitted to have firearms on the military base. Well, they were running away from the action when their first inclination is, when they have the tools to do the job, they're going to run to the call of gunfire and they're going to neutralize the threat and take care of the problem.
That's absolutely true. And it's unfortunate. And some people characterize that as, well, why are these military people running away from a situation? Because they know better than to run into gunfire when you're not properly equipped.
Exactly.
That's just suicide. And unfortunately, there were too many people who died. Somebody asked me, well, did 12 people die because they were following the law? And my answer to that was no, probably only 10, because the first two would have probably lost anyway. And then beyond that, as people start to hear what's going on and people begin to respond to the call of gunfire, it's very unlikely, once the surprise element is gone, that he would have been much more successful beyond that.
And you heard early on there were some very obviously false claims that were made by the anti-gun community in reference to the type of gun and some of the circumstances that were used in this that occurred in this particular incident. And the rest of us waited with level heads for the facts to kind of unfold and information to become available. And there's still lots of factual data that I believe that airs sometime in the morning. Wayne LaPierre, the president of the National Rifle Association, is going to give a presentation relative to the NRA's response to this tragic incident. They've waited, they've gathered facts, and it's going to be very limited, I'm sure, and he's going to wait for additional factual data. But Mr. Pitts goes out of his way to make a comment that, it's a it's incidents like the Navy shipyard incident that just kind of get Wayne LaPierre kind of up at arms, literally and figuratively, to come out and make comments. Well, you know, we've been very, very consistent with the way we do things. We wait till factual information becomes available, and then we present factual data, and we let you, the listener, you, the audience, you, the public, make your decision as to what's actually happening and how things are going down.
Yeah, and unfortunately, what we're hearing right out of the very beginning, as soon as there was no information, but there were reports, as soon as that happened, you started to see people jump in and open up their Preventing Gun Violence Through Effective Messaging guide and start reading right out of the playbook to say, okay, we've got to jump on here. We've got to blame the gun. We've got to blame all of the terrible things on these assault weapons. And one of the first reports that came out was that it was an AR-15 that was used. Now, there was no evidence to suggest that. And one of the few people that was actually in the scene and had left and had heard the shooting indicated he thought it sounded very much like a handgun. And as it turns out, that's exactly what it was. By the time he got in that far, he was using the handguns that he had taken from the guards that he had killed as he came in through the door and shot them with his shotgun. So all of those reports were completely wrong, and yet that doesn't seem to matter to any of those who would like to take away our right to keep and bear arms. Their initial response is, blame the gun, let's get rid of all of them because guns are the problem. I'm sorry, guns aren't the problem. In almost every one of these situations, there has been a problem of someone who is mentally disturbed or they had an agenda. It's not necessarily always mentally disturbed. I mean, they are compared to what we would consider normal, but they're not necessarily crazy. This guy did have some serious mental problems and was undergoing treatment for those medical problems. And because that information is not available to the law enforcement and to the FBI for the background check that is done when we purchase firearms, he wasn't prevented from purchasing a firearm and going and doing exactly what he wanted to do.
So when you hear the president and various members of his promoting universal background checks, you have to understand they've not even defined what a universal background on how they're going to facilitate the dissemination of information relative to mental health. They shouldn't even be having the discussion, because universal background check has to include, and perhaps the most important, most critical factor is mental illness, because mental illness or issues involving that type of mentality are the recurring theme that runs through all of these situations. Yeah. It's not whether they had a pistol or a rifle or a shotgun or a bomb. But you know, and when they talk about gun violence, and again, I have to make mention, and we come back after the break, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the issues. But if it's not the gun, then bad guys are going to resort to things like, who would have ever thought a pressure cooker with BBs and nails and explosive contents being used to do harm on American society? They're going to find bad ways to do things no matter what.
And going back before that, how many people thought that you would ever use an airliner as a weapon and kill almost 3,000 people with it?
And
that's the kind of the failure of that imagination that allowed us to discount any reports that those kinds of things might be happening are some of the problems that we have. If you'd like to be part of this show and you're not out here at the Airport Expo Center for the Dayton's Women's Fair, you can call the studio at 457-1290 and we'll try to get you up on the show as well. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome, listeners, back to the show. This is Jeff Pedro and with Mark Avery, and we're from Sim Trainer. We're broadcasting live from the Women's Fair at the Dayton Airport Expo. And if you have some time available today, I encourage you to come out to the Women's Fair. There are a lot of activities geared specifically toward women.
Or if not today, anytime tomorrow, too.
All
day tomorrow, too.
We'll just be here today, however. And I want to start off by going right out the phones and talk to Matt, who's with us live from the U.S. Air Force Marathon. Matt, are you there?
Yes. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. What's your comment?
I just wanted to add a couple 2 cents worth into the discussion. There hasn't seemed to been any school shootings since the teachers are carrying weapons now.
Well, the first thing, we're making progress along that front. I don't know the numbers. I know it's slow. We're making progress. The biggest thing's been just trying to convince the administration that that's a viable option, because they're so anti-gun, or at least many have been right. So anti-gun in the past, they really didn't think that as an option. And now that we've brought that to a level of conscious awareness and saw that that is really not only a cost-saving matter for the schools, it's also the most effective means, because you got to have well-trained people on the premises that are ready, willing, and capable to mitigate in situations like this in order for them to come to relatively instant resolution.
One of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that there is no federal law that prohibits people who've been licensed by the state of Ohio to carry a concealed handgun from being on school property. That is strictly Ohio law that stops that. And there is a specific exception in Ohio law that allows school districts to make an exception for either an individual or for a class of people. They could even say anybody that has a license to carry a concealed handgun has permission to carry on the school property, but that would have to be done by the school board, and then they would have that would be the way that would have to go.
But don't you think a lot of it has to do with they know that nobody in there is going to stand up to them, and they can more or less shoot innocent people who aren't going to.
Sure, that's absolutely the case. In a lot of situations, you have people who are going to look for a soft target, and schools are definitely a soft target. Any place that puts a sign like that up on the door that says, we don't want guns here, they're just begging for somebody to come in and do something.
Matt, it's interesting exactly. You brought that up. We happen to have a special guest with us today, Ms. Phyllis Williams, who's a retired school teacher, 30-plus years in teaching. And, Phyllis, I'm going to start off just by asking, what do you think drove the mentality or currently drives the mentality?
Thanks,
welcome.
Matt.
What do you think drives the mentality of the school administrators not wanting anything to do with armed people on the premises, even though they're a target-rich environment?
My guess would be that they see all guns as bad and don't want anything to do with guns on a campus, because why would you want guns around children or young people?
Well, tell me this. Now, you got into the shooting sports, I imagine, after you'd retired.
That's right.
You came down to Sim Trainer. You got some training. You liked it. You started shooting recreationally on your own. You've taken all the classes. You're now a certified instructor. You've assisted us with teaching various classes. We're going to go to a break here in just a minute, but when we come back, I just want you to explain how that all happened and what your mindset was behind that.
Hang around with us, Phyllis, for just a little bit. We need to take a break for news at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be back after that. And if you'd like to call the studio, call in at 457-1290. We'll get you up on the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Here.
Welcome back to the show. This is Jeff Pedro and Mark Avery. We're from Sim Trainer. We're broadcasting live at the Dayton Airport Expo at the Women's Fair. And right before the break, I introduced our guest, Phyllis Williams. And Phyllis has a unique circumstance here. Not only is she a woman, but she's a retired school teacher, so she can add some interesting perspective to the dialogue that we're certainly involved in trying to create and getting factual information out there. Phyllis, tell us how you, after retiring from school and so many other things you could have done, why'd you choose the shooting sports, and what were some of the factors that helped you in that regard?
The main thing is I already owned a revolver that I'd purchased in the 1980s when I lived in Texas. But when I came to Ohio, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know the laws. I didn't know much about anything related to guns. So I heard about Sim Trainer and looked on your website and decided to start at the beginning. And I took your first shots class about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And that class sparked an interest in going farther, further. So I took basic handgun and all the other courses you've offered over the last 2 years.
Okay, and how'd you feel about getting involved in the boys' game? A lot of people think this is a boys' game when I think you found out that's not the case. But what was your initial reaction to that whole issue?
Well, Sim Trainer is very welcoming to women. There are women in all the classes I've taken. A lot of women shoot individually at the range, and the men are very friendly to women. I've never had a problem.
In a good way.
In a very good way. Yes, in a very good way. Yes, it's a fun community to belong to.
Well, if you could give one bit of advice to the women out there that are listening, maybe some who are going to stop out here and they thought they were going to, you know, go visit, you know, Mary Kay products or go over to Macy's and get a do-over or whatever you call it. Reference to the shooting
sports.
That's
a makeover.
Makeover,
yeah.
Okay. what would you tell?
Patty, help him, please. Would you?
What would you tell a woman if she wants to get involved in the shooting sports about how to go about it and what should be some of her expectations?
Well, the first thing you should do probably is maybe come down to the range and meet the people at the front desk, talk to them about the classes, and sign up for first shots if you've never shot a gun, or even if you have and would like to know a little bit more about safety.
Maybe
and
never had a class before.
Never
had
a
been
class.
Shot before, but had not ever had any formal training. First shots is a great way.
It's a great way to get started. It's a good introduction. And then the basic handgun class allows you to try a variety of semi-automatic pistols, and you can see which ones you like and don't like, and then decide whether to purchase something, and then continue on taking courses as you have time and money.
Well, like so many other things we've done, we've kind of stolen the rich resources that Phyllis and her friend Diane have brought to the range, in that not only do we get her enthusiasm about the shooting sports, but we get her background as a teacher. And she and Diane have both assisted us, along with several other women, Liz Saruga and Arabella Kaleo. Many women are assisting us in the delivery of the training, because when we first started out, like so many other ranges, it was male-dominated, but we had increasingly large numbers of women coming. And kind of the recurring comment periodically that was occurring is that it would be nice to have some women instructors. So we grasped that information, that feedback we were getting from our audience, and we had people who had teaching back. Around. They had enthusiasm about getting involved, and we use them, and we use and abuse them sometimes. But we're very glad to have both of them and all the women that help us down at the range, because they add a new perspective to the range that often is missing in other male-dominated recreational sports. And we're finding now, quite frankly, the enrollment in our first shots and basic handgun class is probably approaching 50-50.
It's getting there.
It's getting close.
We even had one series of our advanced handgun class not too long ago. It was a couple years ago now, I guess. But that was the first one that we had where we had more women enrolled in that class than we had men. And, I mean, that was, for us, we considered that a real victory because that's where we are trying to go, is to help people who need it the most. And certainly, physically, women tend to be more vulnerable and not as strong as the people that would be attacking them. And so the gun is that much more important, being able to have a gun that they're comfortable with, that fits them well, and that they're going to have with them at the point of that need. You never know when that's going to be, and most people, that'll be never. But for that one time when you really need it, if it's not there, then you're in real trouble, and that's the whole idea.
I think having more women involved at the range has been beneficial for us, because it's enabled us to get into not only in teaching them how to use a firearm, but importantly, the whole concept of the mental preparation that goes into thinking about real-life situations that they may have to get involved in. Because a lot of people, they've come to us, they say, well, I have a gun, but I'm never going to have to use it. Well, that's the wrong attitude. If you're getting a gun for self-defense and personal safety, you have to take a different attitude than I'm getting a gun to protect myself. If I need it, I'm going to know how to use it, and I'm going to protect myself, and I'm going to prevail. That needs to be the attitude. And that's something that we constantly try to promote, because we want people to take that attitude. And Diane shared with us a situation involving her elderly mother, which occurred earlier this year, where she was assaulted along the walking trail in North Dayton. And in that particular situation, as we mentioned on the previous show when we talked about the circumstances surrounding that incident, if she would have had a firearm and known how to use it, that would have been a classic example where a male or female that was subjected to that kind of assault could have used the gun to defend themselves, and we would be talking about that scenario in different terms. So we want you to understand that you ladies out there that are listening, we are user-friendly. We talk about reality, though. I want you to understand right up front, we're not kinder, softer, gentler.
Yeah, we don't really sugarcoat it.
No, we're certainly very. I want to bring to a level of conscious awareness the critical issues involved, and have you come out and at least give us a chance to engage you in dialogue to maybe get you over the hump. We've had a few women who have come with their husbands, and their sole purpose was just to come to First Shots because they want to support their husband in his involvement in the shooting sports. And I think I would, but boy, coming to First Shots, that that dispelled a lot of inaccurate information that's out there. And Phyllis, did you find that to be the case in any of your dealings with us? Or I know that you've been down to Texas, back to shooting ranges down there. There's a lot of myths that are out there about guns and women and guns. Did anything we've done or anything you've heard help dispel
from some
any
of the students,
those?
Maybe.
Well, I think for me, the best thing that's happened is that I feel safe around a gun now. I know how to handle it. I know how to handle it safely. And the people that come to the range for the classes leave smiling and feeling very comfortable with what they did that night or day.
And that's a critical aspect of what we do in First Shots, because we want them to have that positive experience, because we know that's our feeder. That's the feeder to our business. And those people that have that positive first experience, not only do they come back, but they're enthusiastic. They talk to their friends about the experience they had, and it's just it just takes.
Well, that's one of the things that we really see as people come in, and they come from all different backgrounds in terms of how much experience they've had with firearms. Some people have had absolutely none and are kind of scared of them, and maybe are being brought by someone else because they figure they better at least learn about it because it's going to be in the house. And then you've got parents that bring their kids, and the kids, of course, are really excited about the first time they get to handle a firearm. And then we've got folks who are just kind of check this out, or maybe they're looking to be getting ready to prepared to defend themselves at some point in the future, and they want to take a concealed carry class, but they know they're not ready for that yet. And they come in and take the First Shots class, and they find out what the fundamentals are. And we do that with a very low impact, a 22 caliber pistol, so it's real easy to handle, and you don't have that overwhelming recoil that you get with some of the other calibers. And people learn the fundamentals correctly. They get rid of those bad habits if they had some from before, or they never start them. They learn how to do it correctly up front. And then when you follow that learning through and take it to whatever selection that you have for the next firearm that you want to use for self-defense, or if you want to go maybe just to have something around the home to have, then now they have a lot more information that they can use when they go to purchase that firearm. We'll give them in our basic handgun class a chance to try out many different types of firearms, different sizes and different styles, so that they can find the one that fits best for them. And that's really key to being comfortable with using a firearm, is having a firearm that works for you.
I relate it to trying on clothes.
Okay.
Some brands fit you better than others.
And it doesn't matter what the size says on the label.
Right. And you have to buy your own clothes and your own gun.
And I know both with really Phyllis. Do. I know both with Phyllis and Diane. They went through several until they found the one or ones that they liked the most. And the nice thing about that is at Sim Trainer in particular, what we pride ourselves is, and we give you the opportunity to shoot many of them before you make that purchase. And then the other thing we do once you make
not a purchase. Not everybody takes that opportunity.
That's right. That's right. But eventually they find out. But the thing is, once they make a purchase, even if it isn't right, we have a referral network in place so that people can go to some of the affiliate organizations, the gun shops that we're affiliated with, and they are able to trade for something that's more to their liking. So we have that ability, and that's why we tell people, come to the training first, use our guns, then let us either get one for you through our networks or make a referral to one of the other the gun stores, so that you're getting, when you're making significant investment of between $400 and $700, you want it to be right, and we certainly can get you in that area.
And I think that's a really important point, too. If you have a gun shop that you are familiar with, that you have built a relationship with, we're not interested in taking their business away from them. You want to come on down to Sim Trainer and learn how to shoot the guns that you get. In fact, we'll even make sure that you have the right gun for you and give you an opportunity to try some with our Try It Before You Buy program. So if we have one of those guns in stock that you're looking at purchasing from the store you normally deal with, come on down to Sim Trainer. If we have that gun in stock in our range program, we'll be able to give you an opportunity to try it. It only costs $10 plus whatever the ammunition cost is. And then you can test and know for sure that that gun will work for you before you buy that gun, and then go back to the gun shop that you've already built a relationship with and continue that relationship, purchase that gun from them and accessories and whatever else that you need to go with it. And we have, I mean, that is the way we want to work, because our real focus is on training, and we need people, we need the other gun shops out there, because we can't possibly handle all the business for selling all the guns. That's not really our focus. We would love to be able to handle the training. And even that, obviously, we can't do all, but we, you know, when people want to get the premier training, when they want to get the very best they can, that's why they come to Sim Trainer. And people like Phyllis and Diane have been telling other people, hey, if you want to get that, you want to come down to Sim Trainer and learn how to shoot it.
Mm-hmm. And it's a skill that builds and builds the more you practice and learn.
And it's a skill that perishes very quickly. Mm-hmm. If you don't practice regularly, you aren't going to be ready. Can you imagine if you hadn't driven your motor vehicle for a couple of years and then got out and just sat in behind the wheel? And I mean, I think how uncomfortable that would feel. I rode a motorcycle for a long time and I crashed it and rolled it and I haven't fixed it, but it's been a while since I've been on it. But in the springtime, even after having been off it for a couple of months, it was a little bit uncomfortable. It wasn't natural. And if you haven't shot since you got your license to carry a concealed handgun, and it could be as long as 9 years right now, then you need to come back to the range and you need to probably get some refresher training and then be able to get some time behind your gun and practice with it a little bit so that you'll be a lot more comfortable when that time comes.
Yeah, we're going to need to take a break here in just a minute, but we come back to the break, we're going to go out to the phones and talk to Dave. So, Dave, if you're out there, still hang on. But if anybody would like to get on the air in the last few minutes, you can call 457-1290. That's 457-1290, and we'd be more than glad to take your call. Don't forget, we're broadcasting live out here at the Dayton Airport Expo at the Women's Fair. And if you have the opportunity, please stop out here today to take advantage of some of the things that are going on.
Today or tomorrow. There's an awful lot of stuff that's going on. It's going to be out here. They'll be out here all day tomorrow, too. So we won't be, but they will be, and it'll be a lot of fun if you have that opportunity to come on out. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this break. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. And before we go out to the phones and talk to Dave, I want to thank Phyllis for joining us today and Diane. Diane was a little hesitant to talk because she realized we had so short a time period and she had so much to say. She said she wants to make sure she can come on the air when we have plenty more time. So we're going to reserve a future show where we can pretty much devote it strictly to Diane because she has so much to say. But thank both of you for stopping out here today. Let's go out the phones and talk to Dave. Dave, are you with us?
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay, very quickly. I have a Ruger Mini 14, and I'm looking to replace the standard wooden stock on it with something that's a little more functional, tactical style stock. The issue, however, is that this is one of the pre-ranch rifles, so the serial number starts with 184. I guess the difference between them was the style of how the round is ejected. On the older rifles, they go more upward than outward, and that kind of limits you to the kind of stocks that you can get or the choices that you have there. I'm wondering if you have any advice or any direction you could give me in looking for a stock for that particular one.
Actually, I do, Dave. If you would go ahead and send me an email to, what do you want to send it?
Radio at sim-trainer.com is the best way.
Ruger is right now experimenting with solving that very issue. And they've got a couple of prototype stocks that they're issuing for both the Mini 14 and also for their 10/22. That's a tactical variant, and it's designed to address that issue on both firearms. So if you send me an email, I will get that information to you and see if we can maybe be one of the people that will help test that, and you could be one of the people to test and make some comments on that. How's that sound?
That would be excellent. One more time on your email address, please.
That's radio at sim-trainer.com, or you can just go out to our website at sim-trainer.com and then click on the email link, and you can fill in the form, and we'll get it that way as well.
Okay, that would be fantastic. And I also want to thank you guys and tell you what a good job that you guys are doing. They're at the women's show for getting that market out there. I mean, you're right in that this is a population that typically goes underserved, women trying to be prepared in case they have to make, that choice. And so, I'm really glad that you guys are stepping up to the plate and helping them out with that.
Thank you for your kind comments. We only have a couple more minutes, and I just want to give a shout-out to a very good friend who I know is listening right now, working very hard, Mike G. in Kettering. Mike is a staunch Second Amendment proponent, and he's one of probably the five guys when situation goes real bad, if it ever gets to that point, I want him in my corner. Mike, if you're out there listening, I just want to extend a special hello to you and let you know I'm thinking about you, and keep working hard, and I'll see you next week. We have, just a couple more minutes, like I said earlier, and I want to welcome all our listeners, and I want to encourage any of you ladies out there, maybe this is the first time you heard the show, or maybe your husband's been prodding you to come down to the range. Please take advantage of that opportunity. Come down. Let us accommodate you. Let us get you in a situation where you feel comfortable around your husband's firearms, and maybe even get you to transition to where you feel comfortable using your own firearm that you choose. There at Sim Trainer, we give you the opportunity to go through some training, pick a gun that's right for you. You get involved in the shooting sports. You choose to use it for personal safety, self-defense in the home, or ultimately you decide to carry for personal safety when you travel outside the home. All those things are viable options, and we want you to know that that's something that we very much value and we want to promote in any way, shape, or form that we can do that.
And it's very likely that your husband's firearm isn't going to be the one that's best suited for you. So that's another thing. You know, you may have tried guns and said, I don't really like this. This doesn't fit me. This is not good for me at all, so I don't want to do this. And then once you realize that there are many different options and you can find one that fits you, that completely different, it completely changes the entire perspective on what's an appropriate way to do things and whether or not this is a fun sport, and it really is a fun sport. Thanks very much for being with us today. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro. We'll be back in October if we get a break in a late game without getting interrupted, but you can still join us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/simtrainer or sim-trainer.com/radio. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip, 5.0 AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.